This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com. Welcome. You're listening to Daily Market Wisdom with Nick Santiago, Master Trader, and I'm Kerry Lutz. It's Monday, time for another installment. And Nick, we awoke to, again, crude oil prices plunging. What does it mean? And how long can this go on for?
Well, I'm not sure how long it's going to go on for, but I have to say we're starting to see the economies around the country begin to open up. So I have to think this is probably the last stand down for oil or the last decline. But you never know. Right now we're looking at the June contract trading down this morning around $4.30. That's now down to $12.50. So again, go out and fill up your cars if you can tomorrow and get a good price there. But the reality of it is we had a Diamond Offshore today, I believe, file for bankruptcy, Chapter 11 protection. So we're going to see more of those. And as those companies start to file, I think that's when you start to get a little bit of a floor put in crude. But let's face it, nobody's really using a lot of energy products right now. And that's really what it comes down to. So we might still see this roll over into the next contract, which would be July. So, again, we'll see what happens here. But crude oil, very, very weak. And again, we're probably going to need to see a few more companies go bankrupt here, or at least I think we'll see a few more. We may even see some hedge funds and such go under, and then you'll have some kind of a floor in here. That's usually a good sign, believe it or not, when the excesses, companies that can't make it, start to go under, both on the hedge fund side, which people betting on this market, and then you see also companies going under as well.
Yeah. Hey, and speaking of gas, I filled up today. I filled up with premium and got 12 gallons for $25. So that comes out to about $2 and change per gallon. I mean, I'm looking all over at these prices near me, $1.84 for a regular, $1.99. But I got the deal today. So I agree with you. You should fill up if you haven't already. And prices are not going to ever reflect the true price that the barrel is selling for, because you got 60 some odd cents worth of taxes in there, Nick. And then, you know, you've got the transportation cost and you've got the refining margin thrown in there. And, you know, one barrel of oil equals 42 gallons, and you could get like 25 gallons at the most of gasoline out of it. And, you know, it's never going to go down as low as it should with these prices, but it's still down pretty low. I mean, there's a station in West Palm Beach, $1.39. It must have lines around the block. But moving on, so GM suspends its dividend. What happened to our bailout there that was going to like make GM a viable competitor for the future? I mean, well, that's not happening.
I mean, GM, in all fairness, the stock has held up pretty well through all of this, I think. In fact, I'm actually watching the pattern on that stock pretty closely. It might need a couple more weeks of sideways movement here, but it's holding up pretty well. As for them cutting the dividend, and they also suspended their share repurchase program. So, you know, they're looking to stay liquid during these times. I get it. I never agreed with companies not being allowed to buy shares at lows. I just think it's the stupidest thing in the world. When stocks are at highs, they could buy it. When GM was trading at $42 a share, oh yeah, you could buy all the shares you want up there, but you can't buy them back when they're at 20. It kind of doesn't make any sense. I've said this on this program before. I mean, the bottom line is you work for the shareholder, or at least you're supposed to do the best you can for the shareholder.
You pretend to work for the shareholders.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, I mean, you should be buying back if you can afford it. You buy back some stock at these lows because, you know, when they go higher, then, you know, you've done right by your shareholders. But they never seem to do that. It just works the opposite. It's still baffling to me. But as for cutting the dividend, I get it. I understand it. That's not a big deal in my book. But we're going to start to see more dividend cuts coming. People will suspend them. And people will also suspend their share buybacks when this is exactly when they should be buying back stock. It just it's just backwards the way it works sometimes, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, well, it'll be interesting to see what companies keep their dividend, like the food companies, the companies that have been paying out increased dividends for like 100 years. They'll probably still be maintaining their dividend, right?
I would think so. I would think a lot of the tech stocks that pay dividends, and usually they don't pay high dividends because they're looking to grow and put that money to work, I think they'll continue to pay out their dividends. But we're going to see more dividend cuts, especially in the energy stocks. I really have a hard time seeing some of these mid-cap energy companies pay out dividends at this stage of the game, especially in the energy sector. But anything that has been beaten up from this virus will probably need to cut or suspend their dividend. That includes casinos, hotels, and things like that as well. So it's going to be a broad dividend cut going forward. As a trader, I never, ever trade a stock because they pay a dividend. I've never done that because I'm always looking to get in, trade that stock till it hits my level, and then I get out. So I've never been worried or concerned about dividends. But I know a lot of people out there use the stock market as a dividend funnel since they don't make any interest in a bank account. So, it's going to hurt some folks out there, no doubt.
Yeah, so it can be dangerous, but especially when you have elevated market valuations, because then your actual rate of return is going down. But people are willing to take 2% on Apple rather than nothing in the bank. And at some point, like you said, the dividends get cut from companies that don't have great cash positions. Apple, I would seriously doubt, is going to cut their dividend at any time in the near future. They're sitting on, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars worth of cash and investments, so they're going to be safe. But other companies, like the GMs that were marginally profitable, IBM and others, probably going to do away with it. And that will be like a double whammy on their stock, won't it?
At this stage of the game, I don't think it'll hurt their stock so much because they've been so depressed. Markets have been so depressed already so quickly. So I think, the market's always very efficient, believe it or not. It factors things in well in advance, especially when we fall. So, you know, when you have an event like we have now with the coronavirus scare or COVID-19, whatever we're calling it, that's just the market's way of already pricing things in. And what you're seeing is the stocks now are reacting to those share prices.
Yeah. Interesting. So, and then we've got a big earnings week ahead because we've got the tech companies reporting. It's going to be interesting to see what they have to put forth.
Yes, this is going to be a monster week. We have Amazon on April 30th, Google on the 28th of April, Apple on the 30th as well, and then Facebook and Microsoft both reporting on the 29th of April. So this is a big, big, important week for large cap tech. A very, very fair case can be made that tech has led the rally off of the March lows, and they have. The retrace up has been around 70%. Of its February top to its March low. So tech has been the strongest of the major stock indexes. And these five stocks, Amazon, Google, Facebook, Microsoft, and Apple have really led the charge. So we're going to have to keep an eye on them this week. This will be a very, very important week, especially for earnings. Now, Amazon has been an outperformer. It's made new all-time highs during this crisis, and rightfully so. People are getting shipments to their houses now. Nobody's going out. We have a lockdown going on. But it's going to be interesting to watch Apple because think about it. Who's out there buying a new phone? The Apple stores have been shut down in China. Yes. They've been shut down in the U.S. They've reopened in China, but they really have not reopened in the United States. So It'll be interesting to see what they have to say. They affect a lot of different companies as well because of their supply chain and their ecosystem. And you got to remember Warren Buffett, who owns, who is the Berkshire Hathaway founder. You know, he has a monster position in Apple. So that stock can also be affected. And again, it's going to be very, very important to watch that name in particular.
Interesting. Interesting. So, yeah, because look, you can't, it's really hard to be buying stuff. One thing I will tell you, I've gone to sell some things on eBay recently, some just extra electronics equipment, and it's going for prices much higher than I ever expected to get because so many of you are locked in at home, can't get out. You want these things. It's really hard to find stores selling it new and at a discount. So instead, you're turning to the online marketplace to buy products. And I think that's that. My experience is being duplicated all over.
Yes, I agree. And in fact, if you even look at eBay stock, I mean, the stock went from a low of $26 in March. It's now trading $40. I mean, it's been an incredible run in the name, and for exactly that reason that you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, I've witnessed it firsthand, and yeah, there's a couple things I wanted to get. It was very hard because, and this is what gets me, Nick, because these companies have been deemed to not be essential. Look, if you own a company, your company is essential to you, to your employees, to the country, to your state, to your community. There's no such thing as a non-essential business other than government. Because if you weren't essential, you would be out of business.
I agree wholeheartedly. I need a haircut in the worst way. But I can't go to my local barber because he's not open. So, yeah, well, you know, it's really sad to see who's getting hurt from all of this. But, it's the times, I guess, we're in. I don't want to get political about it. But you pretty much know how I feel. I think they got to start to reopen these businesses.
Hey, and Georgia is the test case. I was tempted to go this weekend, Nick, but not enough things were open. But I went to Open Table. I found a couple of excellent restaurants open next weekend. And I found hotels, 3-4-star hotels, selling for $100 to $150 a night. This normally would be pretty good season there in Savannah, and they'd be going for $350 to $500 a night. So I'm going for the weekend. I don't care. I do care. I mean, obviously, I don't want to get ill, but I know that I've been exposed to multiple people who had it. And in all likelihood, I either don't are immune or have got antibodies now. And I'm just not worrying about it because according to that New York State examination of 7,000 COVID-19 deaths, what they found was that 99.2% had comorbidities, had an underlying illness, and therefore it's kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. So not qualified as a doctor or healthcare professional, but I'm a big boy. I can make decisions on my own, and I just don't want to stay home anymore. I'm really, really sick of it. And I got to believe a lot of you out there feel exactly the same way as I do.
Yeah, I agree. I think now people are getting a little bit stir crazy. If you also look underneath the lines, you know, you have a lot of really big negative effects going on. People should be outdoors as far as I'm concerned, especially in sunlight. I mean, why not get your body some natural vitamin D and protect yourself a little bit that way? You don't have to come in contact with people or be on top of them. So I don't understand that. I really don't understand why the beaches are closed. I've been reading all of these different studies. The beaches should be open. That's probably one of the best places for you to go. But it is what it is. I mean, you know, everything always works with panic. And then, you know, you start to get a little bit of resolve from there. So unfortunately, that's the scenario we're dealing with. But I'd like to come down and join you guys in Georgia.
Hey, well, you're more than welcome to. I'll let you know when we finalize the reservations. And, and you know, that's the thing. Like in the pandemic of 1918, they found that when they took the patients out of these dark hospital rooms and put them outside in the sunlight for 2-3 hours a day, the recovery rates were way, way higher than people who were just locked in gloomy hotel rooms, gloomy hospital rooms. And as a result, they started a therapy, an actual protocol that each patient would get, and they had provisional hospitals, tent hospitals. Then each patient got a minimum amount of sunlight. So when they're belittling Trump for talking about UV rays killing this thing off, they're really being neglectful of history. And the other thing is, there's actually a company that is making blood purifiers that take the blood out of the patient, you know, pulls out all the viruses and everything bad and puts the blood back in. And this company is, the stock's going up. I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head right now, but they've been using it for coronary patients, etc. And it seems like it could be a very viable treatment. A lot of countries in Europe are ordering these machines. So before you're so quick to write off Trump's ramblings, just consider that. Anyway, Nick, we got to run. Just make sure you go over, take a look at inthemoneystocks.com. Inthemoneystocks.com, you'll see Nick's up-to-date trading record, a lot of great educational materials there. And you can join if you please. The Twitter handle is @ITMS. And if you got any questions or comments, email me, Kerry Lutz at kl@kerrylutz.com, kl@kerrylutz.com. Nick, we will catch up with you tomorrow and see what this oil situation is all about.
See you then, Kerry.
This is your dose of daily market wisdom with master trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to inthemoneystocks.com.